Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Leilani Farinas, and she is the Director of Content and Engagement over at Shangri-La Museum, and she's here to talk about the kind of the intersection between technology and the world of art. Leilani, I want to welcome you back to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha, Bert. Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, some of the regular listeners to Bite Marks Cafe might recognize your name, Leilani, from a previous, I guess, position and initiative that you were very much involved in, which is called True, right? So you recently transitioned from True Initiative, which was really more directly kind of into the tech adoption, I guess, in Hawaii. And now you're in the art world. So What happened? I mean, how did you decide you wanted to, you know, spread those wings into a kind of a different environment from tech to art?
Yes, actually, it was a really, really nice transition. We still have technology as part of the thing that we do here at Shangri-La.
Mm-hmm.
But my background is in entertainment. So I've worked with creatives. I worked in creative as well. So there was this wonderful opportunity for this job to refocus and, have it be more focused on marketing, which is my expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And it combined the creative world and the technology world into this newly created role, which is Director of Content and Engagement at Shangri-La. So the remit is basically, we know museums and we know institutions like museums, they're known for objects and collections that you go and visit and you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And the assignment here at Shangri-La is we are that. We are definitely a museum that has a collection of Islamic art, but there is also an opportunity to expand our awareness and our reach outside of the four walls we have here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and find ways to storytell and create content that would engage with audiences globally. So, you know, we do operate like a traditional museum.
Mm-hmm.
We have visiting hours on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. All are welcome to come here and visit and, you know, look at it's an architecture as well of the former home of Doris Duke, as well as the more than 4,500 artworks that she collected during her lifetime, during her travels around the world. And her passion was collecting art from the Middle East and Asia and around the world. And basically, it's been, you know, kind of categorized as Islamic art, all housed here in this museum, which is the only freestanding museum of its kind that is solely focused on Islamic art.
Now, you use the term freestanding. What does a freestanding museum really mean?
So when you go to museums like the LA County Museum of Art or
mm-hmm.
the Met, they feature artworks from around the world and different times in history. So
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, modern art, contemporary art. And usually they will also have a little section or maybe even just a few objects that are categorized under this Islamic art genre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically art that's, you know, coming from the Middle East, even Asia, even the Philippines. There's some pieces here from the Philippines. It's usually just a few objects. And you can see that when you walk through those bigger museums, you'll see a few objects. But here at Shangri-La, the entire collection is representing Islamic art.
Right. So
and
it's,
including the architecture as well.
Right. So it's pretty dedicated to Islamic art.
It's dedicated to Islamic art. And also we are known as an expert in the genre,
mm-hmm.
if you will. We have a lot of people, scholars, historians, you know, we are consulted for when it comes to the world of Islamic art and objects, we have a world-class collection and also, you know, can provide some, you know, some background and history to some of the objects that we have here.
Now, as a museum,
it's really fascinating.
And Doris Duke did probably acquire the majority of the pieces that are in the museum. But does the museum continue to acquire new pieces that basically adds to the body of work that's there?
Yes. So the collection amassed by Doris Duke, it was a combination of acquisitions during her world travels, mm-hmm. as well as personally commissioned artwork that she had, artisans creating for her around the world. Currently, we do continue to add to the collection, and that would be in the area more in contemporary art. When you visit Shangri-La, you'll see some of those items on display from the contemporary artists. But it's still, fitting in within the Islamic art genre, if you will. So even as recent as last year and the year before, they've had artists in residencies and exhibitions here, and so there are pieces of art here that were commissioned with artists that are current that we've commissioned. So you'll see some of those objects around the ground.
So is Shangri-La pretty much an independent museum, or are you guys affiliated or partnered with anybody else, like let's say Honolulu Museum of Art?
We are. We have a partnership with Honolulu Museum of Art, mm-hmm. And also, Capital Modern. Mm-hmm. We partner with them. We do several quarterly events with them. With the Capital Modern partnership, it's about expanding our reach outside of our four walls. So once you come to Shangri-La, you'll see what a beautiful space it is. We also want to extend our brand and the experience that we can deliver to audiences even off campus. So we've done one quarterly event so far with Capital Modern, and we have another one coming up this summer as part of their First Friday. So that will be curated by Shangri-La. And mm-hmm. then with Honolulu Museum of Art, we partner with them. If you visit Shangri-La, what happens is you actually originate from Honolulu Museum of Art. So you park there, and then you take a shuttle, which brings you to Shangri-La, which is located in Black Point, mm-hmm. or at the base of Leahi or Diamond Head.
Right.
We are located in a residential location. So, we can't have a lot of people coming in and parking because we just don't have that. So that's where the partnership with Honolulu Museum of Art is. People meet there, and then they get shuttled here. And then we also have a deeper partnership with them as well. So we collaborate. So, all of the museums here, including Bishop Museum, we partner very closely with all the local institutions.
Right.
But we are part of a bigger organization. So we are considered a center of the Doris Duke Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So this museum is a result of an endowment from Doris Duke. And when she passed away, in her will, she basically wanted Shangri-La to be a place where, scholars and visitors could come and, learn about Islamic art. And so that's how Shangri-La was launched in 2002.
I do want to talk a little bit about your role there and the fact that I think, Shangri-La has been over the years, and I've had other folks from Shangri-La on the show talking about some of the kind of the intersection between art and tech. And of course, there was a while back. So the tech that's now currently available, it was probably quite different from when we first got together. But I do want to get a sense as to how easy it was perhaps to get into the role that you're playing there, because my sense of it was that there wasn't much of a convincing effort to get them into this world of technology and how it kind of influences the way that you might present art. So why don't we hold that thought? We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Leilani Farinas, and she's the Director of Content and Engagement over at the Shangri-La Museum. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Leilani Farinas, Director of Content and Engagement over at Shangri-La Museum. And right before the break, Leilani, you know, I don't think, well, correct me if I'm wrong. Was there much of a convincing that you needed to do to get the Shangri-La Museum to embrace sort of this quick and you know, fast-moving technology application and advancements that's going on in the in this, you know, year of 2025?
Well, actually, I'm pretty lucky. I didn't have to do any convincing. Mm-hmm. Our leadership is very much on board with technology and really leveraging it as a tool for storytelling. And that's actually where, you know, where the main focus and the main thrust of this position is really leveraging it, because museums traditionally can do and continue to do storytelling through the objects that they display. But there's more of an opportunity to actually tell a richer story, or capture the rich story through technology, which it also includes content creation. Mm-hmm. So telling the story through different platforms, aside from an in-person experience here, really leveraging our social channels, YouTube, to do a lot of the storytelling. You know, if people have a chance, they can check out our Instagram handle, which is HI_Shangri-La. And there's a lot of content there that really captures all of the activities that are happening here. And it's not just a collection. Within the last 2 years, there's been a concerted effort to actually, you know, position ourselves as a museum, mm-hmm. a cultural center, and a creative campus. So there's objects that you can look at here, but we also host many artists in residence. And a residence is when an artist will come here, spend some time on our grounds, and be inspired with everything they see here. You know, we're located at the base of Leahi, and it's a really, really inspiring place. And that was something that everyone here, including the leadership, realized. And so there's a way of really compelling audiences and use the platform to tell stories, whether it's about the artist and the works that they create, which you'll see some of that coming through in the social content that we do, mm-hmm. and also some of the content that's on YouTube. So last year, this is before my time, but I wanted to point out that there was some really, really beautiful content that was shot with two musical performers here last year. His name is Asadi, and there were several videos that were shot in and around our grounds, along with some original compositions of music that he wrote while he was here. So there are a couple videos there. We also continue to do partnerships on a social level with different content partners. And the content, the filter that we use, you know, we're all about, you know, elevating creative voices, mm-hmm. and over the last year, really, really working to create a connection, a direct connection with the community here in Hawaii. We're located in Kahala, but we want, you know, we want everyone to know that we are a center for the community, and that we are here not only for visitors, but for the people that live here, for residents. So, you know, we always encourage people to come visit, and then on top of that, we do programming that, you know, with local organizations. So, you know, we've hosted convenings with Ohina, mm-hmm. and that's an organization that supports filmmakers and storytellers here in Hawaii. We have done events with Hawaii Founder, which are, you know, helps female entrepreneurs here in Hawaii.
Right.
So we do many, many events as well that partner with local organizations. And so there's a lot of opportunity for storytelling there. And therefore, you know, my job, content and engagement, it's really about putting events, in-person events, encouraging connections with the community, and then capturing the stories, you know, across social and digital as well, so that it's not just confined to, you know, you have to experience Shangri-La, you have to come here. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. You can experience it via the content that we push out and the experiences that we put together.
I'm curious to hear what your opinion is of some of the platforms that you choose to, you know, get the stories out there. I mean, you mentioned Instagram, and I think that's a very, you know, popular platform. Of course, you did mention YouTube. Do you see venturing into the sort of the TikTok world? And if you do, what is it that you want to project to the audience on TikTok? And how would you maybe make it more interesting or unique or compelling versus some of the other platforms?
So we haven't ventured too much into TikTok just yet. It is part of the plan and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok, we know, is attracting the much younger demographic, and I think that's a really, really great opportunity to create some storytelling around some of the historical artifacts that we have. There's a feature here called the Mihrab, and you'll have to learn more about it when you come visit, because our docents here do a wonderful job of telling the story, of this feature, which is very important to the Islamic religion. But we have a Mihrab here, and it's a religious item. But I think there's a lot of education. There's a lot of history. It's super fascinating about how Doris Duke was able to secure this, this item,
mm-hmm.
and how it, got shipped from where it was in the Middle East to here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and how it was assembled, and the many other layers and complexities about, artwork acquisition. And that's something that we tell in person, but I think doing a short form content on that would be amazing. And I feel like, a story worth telling, and that would be both entertaining and intriguing at the same time.
So you probably...
So for TikTok, that would be where we would reach the
audience. Oh, yeah. I'd be very interested in seeing that. And are you the one that pretty much kind of comes up with the ideas, the visions, the actual ideas that might now get translated into actual content that gets delivered? Maybe we'll save that for later, because I also want to ask you about how Shangri-La intersects with the gaming world. And that's a whole another project that I think is pretty fascinating. So why don't we hold that thought? We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Leilani Farinas, Director of Content and Engagement over at the Shangri-La Museum. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Leilani Farinas. She is the Director of Content and Engagement over at Shangri-La. And of course, right before the break, Leilani, we were talking about some of the platforms and some of the content, and you've got some really, I think, great ideas on leveraging, the platforms that are out there. And part of the question was, are you the one that is really helping to direct where some of this content not only gets created but gets delivered? I mean, is that sort of your world now?
It is, and it's really fun. We work on, it's a really fast-paced job. You don't think that it would be, but it is, especially when you're working in the area of social and digital.
Uh-huh.
And one of the areas you mentioned earlier is in the area of gaming, and it actually started before my time, but a little bit of background on it is Shangri-La collaborated with Ubisoft,
mm-hmm.
On the release of Assassin's Creed, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but there was a release of the game last year, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and what happened was the storytelling on that game took place in 9th century Baghdad,
mm-hmm.
and so the developers over Ubisoft really wanted to create a world that was immersive and very true to history. And so because it was based in Baghdad, they really wanted to reconstruct a world and they consulted with historical and cultural experts. And of course, one of those experts that they came to was Shangri-La. And so there's two items actually from our collection that are actually featured in the game, in the gameplay, as well as some background and history on the object within the game itself. So, you know, that's one of the ways where storytelling is happening not only within our four walls, but on another platform in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now audiences around the world can be exposed to some of the, you know, to the collection, which we're more well known with museum goers, but now this is reaching a whole new audience. And so that was super exciting. We have an exhibit that talks about the collaboration, shows the actual real objects themselves, and then shows what it looks like inside the actual game itself.
Well, you know, what you're also leading to is kind of the business of the art world. And I'm curious, when a company like Ubisoft and a very popular platform or title like Assassin's Creed, when they come to you and they want to leverage some of your assets, is there a business transaction that, you know, takes place so that the museum benefits from this sort of commercial partnership? Is that part of a business sort of relationship that is cultivated with Ubisoft?
So not in the traditional sense. We are a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's not in a traditional term like commercialization, you know, with revenue necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but it is more so from a brand extension and really exposing and broadening the reach for our brand and for our content and for our IP. So in this case, it's the two objects. But I think because we had a hand in helping to curate and provide some historical knowledge as well into the game, it also positions us as, you know, as scholars and very knowledgeable and experts in this space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, not to mention now a brand that's not just, that's yes, we are a traditional museum, but we are now, if you want to think about it, we are a content player or even a content creator. And so those are some of the things that got me really, really excited about this role. Is breaking out and expanding our vision as a museum, and not just as a collection, but as a place where we can tell stories that support our mission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's like to elevate stories among creatives, and also as a place. And that the one part I didn't talk about too is this is a really, really unique and inspiring location. And I think once someone visits, they'll know what I mean. But we realize that this space, you know, creates a lot of conversation. There's a sense of place when people convene here. So we've been doing a lot more convenings.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the collection, we host different organizations. I mentioned them earlier, but you know, we've hosted other organizations that we can't talk too much about. But you know, global organizations, we've had. You know, some people from Japan meeting here and having, you know, high conversation, you know, thought leaders,
mm-hmm.
and having really important conversations. So that's the other part of my job is the engagement side of things, too. So how can we leverage our campus so that ideas can be exchanged? And this is really supporting Doris Duke's vision,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and her legacy of really, you know, inspiring and creating conversations. And she had that. And way before her time, you know, as a Haole lady, you know, traveling the world and collecting art, coming back here to Hawaii, and you know, she was one of the first non-native Hawaiians, female, to surf competitively.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah, right.
She was very close with the Kahanamoku family,
mm-hmm.
so she was like way ahead of her time. And what we're doing with everything that we're doing is just carrying on her legacy. So it's really exciting to be here, and you know, I wish for everyone to come and visit.
Well, I think this is definitely going to be on my calendar in the not too distant future. Now, you mentioned you know, content creation for platforms like YouTube and Instagram, and you talked about Ubisoft with the gaming kind of world. Now, there's a lot of tools that are coming out, and you know as well as anybody, AI is really advancing quickly, and there's tools like Midjourney, you know, that can incorporate images and create images that you know, as an artist, you know, you have this tool that now can just create it in a matter of, you know, a few, maybe minutes, maybe not even minutes, maybe seconds. How do you see, from a Shangri-La perspective, leveraging some of those tools?
So we are talking about different programs and different events that we can curate and put together. But I think it's really important for our community and the people that live here and the creatives that live here to really explore and you know, it is looked at with, you know, suspicion and, you know, it's kind of, but I think what's important is to get that authentic storytelling, we have to have, you know, our native storytellers behind those stories and using those tools so that, you know, those stories can be told in an authentic fashion, even though, you know, you're creating them with AI, it's still at the end of the day, it doesn't create itself. So I think the more people that can explore all these new tools that come out and, you know, whether it's playing around with them. And I think I said that when I was executive director at True, is that it's just to jump in and just try different things because different tools are coming out all the time. My viewpoint on this is, yes, there are a lot of regulations that still need to be figured out, but just like they figured out streaming and, you know, how the music industry was revolutionized and now it's, you know, it's streaming. And so same thing with television, it's streaming. I think at some point it will figure itself out, but in between now and then, I think it's still a good time for everyone to jump in and just try out all the different things that are out there because it's going to be really, really important to get representation, and it's going to be from the people behind, you know, using those tools, telling the authentic stories.
So
that's going to be super critical.
What is something that we can look forward to as your probably next content creation that we can maybe go to YouTube or go to Instagram to find out about? What is it that we can look forward to?
We have some partnerships coming up with some local content creators. You know, as a means of aligning our mission and supporting also the local creatives that we have here. So there's a partnership coming up that is going to be announced soon. And then we also are putting something together potentially during Honolulu Tech Week in September.
Oh, wow.
That really explores that idea between art and technology.
Great. So, Leilani, where can we find out more information about all the cool stuff that you're working on?
ShangriLaHawaii.org is our website. So please check that out. And also on Instagram, HI_ShangriLa.
Very good. I'll put that up on our show notes. Leilani Farinas is the Director of Content and Engagement over at the Shangri-La Museum. Hey, Leilani, thanks for joining us today.
Mahalo, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the investor ecosystem with Builders VC. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR1 every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.